Hello and welcome to another fine edition of Wonder Pod, episode 11. I am joined this week, as always, by Gun Sage.
I don't feel too good about this episode. You just started it with Halo.
Actually, there is a Halo story this week. But anyway, also joining us is our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man of the North, Patrick.
Episode 11! Woo! WonderPod, what's going on, people? Let's do this.
All right, Gunsage, give us a lowdown on what you've been playing this week.
I haven't been playing that much. I was playing Final Fantasy 13 until I realized, hey, I'm done playing rail shooters. So I went ahead and... I went ahead and decided to play a real shooter and downloaded Perfect Dark. So there's that. It's actually a pretty good remake or port or whatever you want to call it. And I got Wii Fit Plus because I'm a fat ass. So
that's about exercise.
Oh yeah, I did play a little bit more Blaster Master Overdrive and went, hey, I still can't get past the first area. All right,
Patrick, what about you?
Oh, turn my mic off. Anyway. Well, basically, I've been playing two games this week. I tried. First of all, I'll tell you about the thing I didn't play with this week, even though I tried. I turned on my Nintendo Wii for the first time in about 3 weeks, and I just looked around at the Wii channels and the internet browser, and especially that Mi channel, where you get to make your little character things, and I hate to harp on Nintendo so much, but, wow, you know, I understand the Miis were original and the avatars are just copies, but damn, my Miis look like total crap compared to my avatars, so much for Nintendo, but, what I have been playing this week is, Battlefield Bad Company 2 and also, like Gunsage, Perfect Dark on Xbox Live. I've talked a lot about Battlefield in the last few weeks, and I know that, Bruce, that you've purchased the title this week, so I'll leave most of that for you for, your turn. But I must say one thing about it, that when you're playing online, the difference between a great game and a poor game really depends solely on if you're in a party with friends or if you're not in a party with friends. No party, no fun. It's that simple, really.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, Bruce, about that, or do you want to wait till it's your turn, or...
No, I totally agree. I can have some fun because I'm still leveling up, playing on my own, but I generally wait until there are people around I want to play it with.
Oh, definitely. I just get Gunsage, you're not going to be picking up Battlefield, probably?
Probably not. Regarding Perfect Dark, though, yeah, I was kind of a gamer dick this week, accidentally.
What did you do?
Well, save it. We'll get to you and your being a dick in Perfect Dark. Anything else, Patrick?
Perfect Dark, but do you want to talk about that, or what?
Oh, you can say what you want to say. Right. I mean, we all three played it.
Sure. It's, I think the price point for Perfect Dark on Xbox Live is really good at $10, you know? It's, just about perfect, if you pardon the pun. Basically the same game as the N64 Classic with HD update and online support, but I mean, it's still great. It was good on the N64. It's definitely not aged 100% compared to, you know, other shooters, but I mean, that's two generations later, so what do you expect? It's still fun to play. I played one game online. Have you guys played Perfect Dark online yet? Anybody?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's where my gamer dick thing comes into play.
Oh, okay. <It's>, you know, I probably shouldn't have done it, but I just wanted to try it out because I've still not figured out the controls completely. But I didn't get raped like I thought I would. I finished right in the middle, fourth place, so it wasn't too bad. So I either got lucky with a group of noobs or I'm better than I thought at it. I think I just got lucky, really. One thing I don't like about the online thing is you start off with nothing. When you appear, every time after you die, when you appear, you have no gun and you have no shield or anything. So yep. You're just running around and you can easily turn around a corner with your no gun and no shield and run into someone with a machine gun pointed at your head. Or something worse pointing at your head. So that part there is a little annoying, although I guess you could argue, you know, I think about a third of my deaths when I played that game were I just appeared, I'm looking for a gun, I'm looking for a shield, and some Nimrod shoots me in the back or something. But I guess you could say it goes both ways, because I killed a couple people that way too. I felt bad about it, but not that bad. But, yeah, that's about all I've been playing this week.
Well, first off, I continued on God of War, but I got to a time section, and I suck at those. And about that time, this package in the mail showed up. the donkey was really tiny. He fit in the mailbox, just barely. Actually, my mailman crammed him in the mailbox. Thank you very much. So I got my Xbox back up and running, and it was kind of comical because I went out and spent money to get my PS2 running, and then my Xbox package shows up the next day. So now I've got all of them. I'm not going to be buying any games. After buying Perfect Dark today, I'm not going to be buying any games for a month or two because I've got enough. I got enough I need to beat. So got to God of War, got to a time section where I'm sure I'll eventually get past it, but I just need to be in the right frame of mind and fairly calm to do it. Second game I picked up this week was Deadly Premonition. I love that game. From the minute in the opening when you have chipmunks that are screaming like chimpanzees on forward, it is the greatest bad game you will ever play in your entire life. The only thing I will caution you on is the controls may drive you a little bats at times, but if you kind of look at it in the same vein as you're looking at Perfect Dark, you will enjoy the hell out of this game just for how loony it is. It's just, it's hilarious. You have to play it to understand. I couldn't explain it without spoiling the living hell out of it, but it is the best $20 I've ever spent. I mean, it just literally is. And at the same time, I picked up Deadly Premonition. I picked up Battlefield Bad Company. I beat it in about the same amount of time it took me to beat on normal Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I think that if you played the first one, you'll enjoy the second one, single-player campaign, more than somebody who didn't play the first one. Just because, as I was telling you on live the other night, Patrick, just because there's some in-jokes and a few other things that popped up in one that they carry on into two, so it makes the cheesy dialogue a little more tolerable, although the dialogue is pretty cheesy. Multiplayer, it's definitely Battlefield, and that I like. I think we get a few more guys to join in at a party. I think we could do really well together as a squad. I saw some real good potential the other night with Patrick capturing flags and with me kind of providing scout support, telling him where guys are at, this and that. If you could get a couple other guys that are willing to defend a flag and kind of hang on to it or go attack, it's a lot of fun. I don't have quite the huge deal of missing a night or two as I did with Call of Duty, but it was still worth the money. And then finally, of course, I also picked up Perfect Dark. I'm kind of in the same boat as Patrick. I tell you what, I was a little surprised it was 800 points, and I wouldn't have given them a dime more for it than 800. It's basically an HD port that plays the same as the original N64 game. The controls are N64 controls. You know, if you go in there expecting modern shooter controls, you're not going to be too happy, because it's not. I'm still learning the secondary targeting mode. I will learn how to use that if it kills me, because I noticed, Gunsage, you seem to have caught onto it pretty quick, because you got the 128 achievement.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little slower at it. I kind of tend to do what Patrick was talking about. I use the standard aim and let it auto-aim for me when I'm in a high-pressure situation. But other than that, it's a fun Nintendo 64 game that they did a good job with the HD update. It's worth 800 points. It's not worth more than that in my mind, so it's perfect. I have not taken it online yet. I don't know if I will. I'm not really sure I care enough to hop online with it. Maybe co-op with one of you guys, but I don't know. We'll see. The thing I think I find interesting, Patrick, is you saying that you don't get any guns or anything.
Yeah.
To start with, I can see why Gunsage did so well at it, because that's basically Doom. That's Quake. That's Duke Nukem. I mean, that's, you know, that's the gaming I kind of cut my teeth on.
I mean, you literally start with just your fists.
I know.
Yeah. Not even a pistol or anything.
I'm pretty sure I want to say there was like that versus co-op or whatever in GoldenEye or in maybe Perfect Dark on the 64, and you started the same way. I think they left it just as it was.
I think so, yeah.
Because I remember there being a versus, you know, like you versus a buddy on a split-screen co-op or a multiplayer in GoldenEye. And yeah, the biggest problem I had was my buddy had been playing it for so long, by the time I'd get a gun, he'd already killed me 14 fucking times.
Yep.
Yeah. You know.
Yep, that happened to me.
Overall, I mean, it was a good week in gaming. I need to go back and beat Deadly Premonition. After I get done dorking around with Perfect Dark for a little while, I'll head back and try and finish that up. Hey, Gunsage, let me ask you something. Did you notice that it's not really particularly all that scary?
What?
Perfect Dark. Or excuse me, I misspoke. Deadly Premonition? Yeah, Deadly Premonition.
Oh, it's not supposed to be.
See, I expected them to try and make it scary and fail miserably on purpose. I didn't expect them to do that. The only time I felt the least bit nervous at all, and this is all I'm going to say so I don't spoil it for anybody else, was in the lumber mill, the end of the lumber mill.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that...
I love the part where you find the axe in the generator and he goes, clearly the killer had something against generators.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, really?
Have you gone fishing yet?
Mm-hmm.
That is hilarious. I'm like, a fishing game. Sweet. Yep.
And a survival horror game.
Yeah, I thought that was the most brilliant. And I mean, you get useful stuff from it.
Mm-hmm.
Being a catch and release fisherman in real life, I released all the fish, not realizing I could eat the damn things. Until
you can only hold like one, I think, though.
Oh, well, hell. But, yeah.
Not that it really matters, though, because that only satiates your hunger, not your, your health.
Yeah. I actually kind of like that mechanic. It can be a little annoying, but it's actually kind of comical. I kind of like that mechanic.
Well, I like going ahead and leaving my character with a huge beard.
I haven't tried that yet. I need to do that. Cause mm-hmm. I shave every morning. Anytime I'm near a sink, I shave.
Yeah, you get money for shaving, but I'm just like, fuck it. I get money for doing everything. I get money for taking a piss. I just get money for everything, so I don't care. I've got like $10,000, but that's okay because a sandwich is $115.
Yeah, I think that was done on purpose too. I think that whole, like the bait worms were $35 for six of them.
Yep.
It's like, what? The fishing rod was actually fairly, if you go toward the middle tier of fishing rods, it was actually pretty normally priced.
Well, yeah. The gun, too, really. The semi-automatic.
But, oh, yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I'm going, it's $38 out of a vending machine for a pack of crackers.
I'm telling you, they did that on purpose.
$21 for a lollipop. I'm like, okay, why are they selling lollipops out of vending machines? And who's going to put in $21 one bill at a time?
Well, if you have a 20 and a 1, they have they have vending machines that take 20s.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're not very widespread, but I don't think you'd find them in a podunk town in Washington, or around here for that matter. But no, it was a good week of gaming. I've kind of got so damn many games, I don't know what to do with myself. Which, because now all my Steam games are just sitting there rotting, I'm going to have to get back in and play some of those too. Yeah. But okay, that's what we've been playing this week. Now, gentlemen, I got a question for you this week. I've been reading all over the place, bitching, whining, moaning, and it's cropped up over and over, and we touched on this a little bit previously. It's been cropping up over and over again about, well, this reviewer didn't complete this game. The super mega secret ending is going to make the whole game experience different. You have to have it, or otherwise you can't review this game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, huh? How about you kiss my ass? So, my first question is to both of you, Gunsage, you can go first. Does a reviewer have to 100% complete a game for a review to be relevant and valid?
No. Yes. It really depends on the game, honestly. If it's like a survival horror game, I would definitely recommend it, or an action game, like, you know, God of War or something. But especially the games that have been coming out lately, there's no mind-blowing endings. Even Machinarium, which I was like, oh, they'll go ahead and put all this together. No. The ending felt like a cop-out, if anything. More or less, it was the journey, not the ending. So I look at it and I go, you know, there are some exceptions, yes. But especially for, like, I don't know, an RPG, that's not going to happen. Especially if you want to go ahead and get a review out for it as expediently as possible.
Patrick, same question.
Well, when an Internet 2.0 kitty, as you like to call them, Bruce, we all know who they are. When they see a review of a game that he or she doesn't agree with, they look for anything that they can use to attempt to discredit the reviewer. You know, this apparently is much more easy than, say, oh, I don't know, writing a response themselves filled with examples and logic that would defend a counter opinion to the review. So if they could prove that a reviewer did not finish a game for them in their twisted illogical web 2.0 existence, it's a way to almost discredit the reviewer and justify, you know, that was a bad review score. The thing is, I don't think you necessarily have to finish a title before you review it. As long as the title does not have any major changes to the gameplay or the story before you stop playing. I mean, you should go through most of it, but, you know, as long as there isn't any major changes. Basically, a video game review should cover, you know, what the game is, how you play it, if you like it, and if the reviewer enjoyed it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the reviewer needs to completely finish the title before reviewing it. It's probably a good idea, but, you know, especially the ones that are getting paid, they're getting paid to review a whole bunch of games as quickly as possible. Sometimes it's just not possible for them to do it, you know?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I think this has come down to, okay, we're running out of arguments to hate game reviewer X, you know, we're going to use this. Oh, you didn't complete the game. I mean, I've seen that in two places where they went, well, you know, if you had just gotten to the ending, it would have changed your whole gameplay experience. No, that's like telling me if I pick up 6 pieces of dog crap with my bare hand and then go pick up a rose, it's going to change the whole experience of picking up 6 pieces of dog crap before the rose. I don't fucking think so.
Well, there's two final things I'd like to add to this. The first thing is rule of rose. Now, I'm not going to go too in-depth about it. I already went ahead and presented a review and everything.
Right.
The game is so bizarre, so symbolically off the wall. You're trying to just piece together what the game's trying to tell you, and it gets not ridiculous, but just like the gameplay itself is annoying and just like kind of droning and everything. But I kept playing it because I'm like, there's just so much crazy messed up shit that's happening. Obviously there's going to be a lot of sense made in the end. No, absolutely no fucking sense. It was an ending that really pissed me off because I'm like, I just spent all that time in this survival horror game that makes no sense, completely messed up for no reason other than just to piss me off all the way up to the very fucking end.
Right.
So, yeah,
that's why the devs did it.
Well, that's the problem, though. I mean, I was expecting that there would be something to tie it all together. That's why I really didn't want to review it until I had beaten it, because I was like, if I review it now, then there will be some really awesome ending, and I don't want to go ahead and do that. And I reviewed it anyway, and then I beat it, and I was like, son of a bitch. But that was the first thing. And the second thing, in no certain terms, Final Fantasy 13, and I am mentioning this purely for the purpose of, on my RPG forums, I went back to check after I had gone ahead and actually linked my non-review to them.
Right.
And a couple of people are like, I don't know what you're talking about, Gunsage. I mean, I'm already up to this point. I haven't been dealing with that. Anyway, and I'm just thinking, okay, whatever, be a jackass about it. Then this guy beats the game, harps about the ending, harps about the same issues I harped on, but proceeds to say, but it's a pretty good game overall. I'm like, it's one or the other. It's one of the fucking other. So, I don't know. Just craziness.
Okay, the second thing, and Gunsage, I want you to cover this first. The second thing I want to ask is, how much do they have to play? Now, the reason I want you to cover this first is you kind of sounded like it depended on the genre for you.
Right. That is the trickiest question. Because, alright, let's take a game like the Persona games.
Right.
For the most part, if you play Persona 3 or Persona 4 for 10 hours, you've got a good idea of the game. You're not going to go ahead and come across the, you know, the mind-blowing revelations that come later in the game. But on the same token, you've got a good idea what the game is, what the game's going to entail for the next 50, 60, 100 hours, depending on how long you choose to play it. You've got a pretty good idea of the game. You know it's going somewhere. You know it's going to do this, that, and the other. You've got a pretty good idea of the game. But it's the idea that sometimes you really don't know. Especially in the case of an RPG, you really don't know if after the 10th hour, after the 20th hour, after the 50th hour, something ridiculous is going to happen. Now, granted, if it happens late enough that it's 20, 30 hours in, it doesn't matter. That's pretty much what I was saying with Final Fantasy 13. I'm like, so they go ahead and open it up at chapter 11. Why couldn't it have been chapter 5? Why couldn't it have been the first, second, third chapter? You know, I mean, these are good concepts that they bring way late in the game, by which point most gamers, especially those expecting a hardcore Final Fantasy experience, have pretty much turned the game off because they're done with it. So, it's hard to say, really. I would say, for a role-playing game, at least 10 hours. It is a little harder to accomplish that, though, with a game that just came out. You know, that's the hardest thing, especially if you have a lot of other responsibilities and you're a professional reviewer and everything.
Right.
Still definitely make the attempt, though. As far as, like, action games and stuff, though, I would say beat it. If it's the hardest game in the universe, I can understand maybe not beating it, but most of the time you want to go ahead and beat something that isn't an RPG.
Right, okay. Patrick, same question.
Well, I think Gunsage hit it right on when he said, you know, you should always attempt to finish the game. I mean, that is the whole point. Most people buy a game with the intent on finishing it, but it also depends on what type of game and what do you define as finishing a game these days. Is it to see the credits for the first time? Okay, well, let's take a fighting game, for example. You can beat a fighting game on a low difficulty level, say a Street Fighter game, use the most powerful character, Ryu, and finish the game off reasonably quickly. You'll finish it, you'll fight all the bosses, you'll get the credits, you'll get an end movie. Now, is that finishing the game? I don't know. There's 24 other characters and all these online modes and everything. So it's really hard to say. I'd say in a game like that, you wouldn't have to completely finish the game. You wouldn't have to go through 24 characters. You could maybe go through half of them, and you've got pretty much everything you need to know about the game. So in a situation like that, you don't have to completely finish it. In games like, say, adventure games, like take Zelda or Can of Time, I know that's an old one, but I remember getting stuck in the water temple. I'm sure everyone who's ever played that game remembers getting stuck in the damn water temple.
Nope.
Now, no? You actually got, you didn't get stuck in a Gun's Age?
Nope.
We hate you. Anyways.
Yeah, pretty much. You're the only gamer I know personally that never got stuck in that fucking thing. But you don't count. You're like super RPG nerds, so you don't fucking count anyway. What am I talking about? Anyway.
All right. If I was to write a review of Zelda and I gave up when I was stuck in the water temple, I would have never experienced the entire game. I would have never experienced the ending, which I thought was really good, and I probably would have given it a lower score than if I actually finished the game, got through the water temple eventually, you know, fought the boss, went to the end, had that dramatic long ending, at least for its time. So I really think it depends on the game. You know, some games, no, you don't need to finish everything, and other games, like maybe, you know, adventure games, then you should try your best to finish them, that's for sure, before writing a review.
I'll tell you the one genre you shouldn't have to finish the game, and our good buddy got nailed for this genre. Of course, it might have had something to do with the fact that it was a Waylo title, is RTS. You can play... You can play three or four campaign levels, play a couple online matches, and play like a free-for-all style game where you can set the parameters, do whatever you want, and you're gonna know what an RTS is. I love RTSs. I own an ass ton of them, but I've yet to see one outside maybe StarCraft that had an ending that was so super, it increased my love of the game. Past that, no, I'm sorry. And I kind of think fighting games and platformers, it kind of depends on the title, but there's very few where I think you have to go get the final boss. Or my thing is you should get at least 50% through the damn thing. Maybe 75% depending on the title. But, you know, there's a lot of games where you can go to a certain extent and go, okay, I know what this is going to do. And if it's trending toward a bad game, I'm sorry. There's no ending in the world. No amount of beautiful CGI no amount of beautiful graphics. I don't care. You know, Final Fantasy 13 and God of War supposedly, you know, just up the ante on beautiful. I don't care. If it's a crap game, it's like, again, using a dog turd, it's like spray painting a dog turd gold. It's still a fucking dog turd, you know. But the people that bitch about RTS ones are the ones that make me laugh the hardest, because it's like, huh? What? Oh, yeah, the stories are so compelling in an RTS game. Uh-huh. Yeah, bite me. You know.
Well, they are in Command and Conquer.
Not really.
And Ogre Battle.
And what?
Ogre Battle.
Oh, I thought you said Auto Battle. I thought you were developing new RTS.
No.
The Command and Conquer series took it to a different place, hiring nerd and geek favorite actors to do cutscenes. But there's still not a compelling story, and I don't think I've played Ogre Battle. That's surprising for me, RTS nerd that I am. But I'm sorry, Command & Conquer did it different, and they did it better, but it's still not, there's still no compelling earth-shattering story in any of those. And I played, I was trying to think, I haven't played the new one yet, but anyways, yeah, Patrick had it right with the, how about you take some, which good luck with the internet these days, how about you take some time and make some constructive criticisms with logic and thought? Or here's an even better idea. I got a better idea for these little trolling commenter shitbags that like to pull stuff like this. Go set up a Google blog. Take you 5 minutes. I bet I could set up one while I'm doing this show. That's how easy it is. And write your own damn review.
Yep.
Wait, what? You're not going to get any attention doing that? Is that what you're saying? Oh, you want attention? Well, now we're getting down to it. You know, I'm starting to think that writing on the internet is getting to be a lot like wrestling. People are taking writers who have a lot of popularity or internet personalities who have a lot of popularity and are just trying to get a rub off of them. Except unlike wrestling, they're not trying to work to better both parties. They're trying to tear the one party down to make themselves look better. You know, that's really, and it's actually, to be quite honest, one of the reasons why I've gone back to just writing short stories and other fiction shit, because it's like, you know what, I just don't have the patience for it anymore. I'm not fighting with these douchebags. It ain't worth the waste of my time. You know, they're dickholes.
I need to write more Secret of Evermore reviews so I can live off of people's hate and seething.
Secret of Evermore.
That was probably the best fucking thing that ever happened.
That's
the douchebag that emailed me.
Yeah, I know. I remember it. That's the sequel to the world-famous Super Porchlight Monkey Island, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my discussion topic for the week, a new thing I'm trying. 2 weeks in a row, and it hasn't gone bad. First bit of news I want to do that I don't even need to read the story. It came to us from 1UP. The Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 franchise is getting new maps. They are 3 new maps and 2 old maps. Here's the deal. Get out your wallet. It's $15. Gunsage, you go first. Are you going to purchase that?
Yes.
Reason? I mean, $15, 3 new maps and 2 old maps from the original COD, that's a good value to you for $15?
This is the way I look at it. That's $3 a map. I understand. That's a bit much. It could have been free. It could have been $10. It could have been 10 cents. But, first off, trying to figure out what 10 cents is in points is kind of a pain in the ass. Second, I really don't care. I mean, honestly, what it comes down to is I'm fairly certain that everybody else is going to go ahead and get the map packs anyway. We already have enough problems going ahead and getting teams nowadays. Do you really want a situation where, I mean, granted, that's $45 for the 3 of us. But when you really look at it realistically, okay, except we're 3 people. Even if we go ahead and get everyone off of our friends list to cooperate to go ahead and just do those maps, you know, there's still the potential that we still won't have enough people, so there's still the possibility that we would need to go ahead and get the new map packs anyway. That's just the way I look at it anyway.
Patrick, same question. Are you buying it? And if so, why is it of value to you?
Well, stimulus package is what they're calling it, right? Well, the only thing that that's going to stimulate me is for playing more Bad Company. Bad Company 2, that's what's going to stimulate me for. But no, to be honest, you know, it's 50-50. I understand what Gunsage is saying, but I also understand what a lot of people are saying, including myself, that $15, it's a little steep, you know? I mean, first off, some people are saying, you know, it's 5 new maps. Well, actually, it's only 3 new maps, and 2 are old, rehashed, virtually unchanged maps. So it is a little steep. However, you know, I will probably buy them just because I have a lot of Microsoft points. I think I got 2 gift cards of Microsoft points back sometime in the last few months, and for me, I'll probably buy the package just because I have so many points to burn. But for people who don't have a shitload of Microsoft points, it is pretty expensive, you know? I hope that some people will stay away from this package, but let's face it, you know, it's one of the most popular games of all time on the Xbox, and I bet that this downloadable content will sell by the truckloads, you know? The only thing that this scares me a little bit is that it's gonna set a new standard for ripping off gamers for years to come. So, I'm on the fence. I'm probably gonna get it, but I do understand that $15 is a little price.
I will not buy this fucking shit.
Aww.
Fuck Activision right in the asshole. I'm sorry, but 2 maps that I played to death on COD4 and then 3 new maps? No. $15 is too much. It's not a value to me at all. I'm not one of those people that thinks it should be free. Everything should be free. Good luck. We're done with that. Valve is the last holdout of nice guys in the gaming business. It's just which level of consumer whoreism do you prefer to take part in? This is too much for me. It's just, no. I'm not doing it. What were you going to say about the 2 that were played to death? I know you had a counter comment to that.
Oh, I was going to say, see, I kind of wish that there was a way that, like on the Wii, you can buy gifts for people.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is the way I look at it. If all 3 of us aren't going to get it, there's no real reason for me to go ahead and get it either.
Well, I mean, hey, if somebody wants to give me the $15 in Microsoft points, I'll buy it.
What do they call it on the Wii? I don't even know. I've heard about it, though. You can buy
Wii
for
gift
people.
Points or something.
Yeah.
Just gifts.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's Valve does that with Steam. You can gift games.
Yep.
Which is a cool feature. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pleading to our grand total audience of 25 people to fucking buy me the map.
I am.
There comes a point where I just... I'm a consumer whore. I've admitted it before. I've spent some stupid amounts of money on shit that I probably shouldn't have spent money on. But $15, come on. You're going from with lube to without lube and a pipe. I mean, it just signals to me that the COD franchise is done. That Activision doesn't care. They're going to try and grind every last dime they can out of it. They know they're boned. I don't know if I told you, gentlemen, did we discuss on here how Infinity Ward is here in California? So you know what that means? It's illegal to have no compete clauses in contracts.
Uh-huh.
So basically, West and Zampella could go start their own studio any goddamn time they want.
Oh, nice.
And in a quick news note, they retain the services of CAA, which is a huge Hollywood agent firm, one of the biggest. At one time, the wrestling company WCW did business with them. I think Vince McMahon and WWE has done business with them. A lot of Hollywood stars do. I think these boys are planning on something big. And I think Activision knows it. I think they know the COD franchise is about toast and they need to milk it for all it's worth. Now I'm taking my tinfoil hat off because I don't know. They could just be dicks and want to charge $15 for it. It's going to sell. You know what? And that's the sad thing. It's going to sell. I mean, Gunsage does have some moderately decent points. It's the best explanation I've heard for buying it. But it's until gamers as a whole say, we ain't buying this shit. They're gonna keep doing it. I know, and I'm not cutting on you, Gunsage. You know, it's a free country. You're more than welcome to buy what you want and not want. I'll never look down on you for that.
I was just hoping we could play again. Stop, guys. You don't want to do it.
Go kick in another $45 and buy Battlefield Bad Company, you prick.
That game was made by Infinity Ward.
Infinity Ward isn't even Infinity Ward anymore.
Finite Ward.
They're a puppet with a pipe up their ass.
There's Socko. Socko has a hand up his butt.
Greatest old school wrestling reference ever.
Oh no, I was talking about, they did that on Beavis and Butthead once, the Walkathon episode.
Oh, so you have no idea that Socko was,
Yep, Mankind.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like,
yeah.
You took out Socko last week, but he couldn't call it Socko, because I think WWE has the name Socko, so it's just a sock.
I think Foley needs to just go home. I cannot believe the guy is still upright and mobile. I can't believe he's walking. I loved his Cactus Jack character in ECW, but TNA has just turned itself into WCW Part 2. I mean, that's really all they've done.
Years later.
Now, this is what I want to know. If they've turned themselves into TNA, are we going to see something like, I don't know what it'd be called now, but WCW versus NWO done by THQ with AKI? That's what I want.
You could do... I don't know. I don't pay close enough attention anymore.
I think that company's dead now. AKI.
Oh yeah, yeah. Aki. Yeah. I think it's toast or got sucked up by somebody else
or something.
Well, they did WCW versus NWO, and the last I knew, they did the first two Def Jam games, which were actually really fun and really over the top and just enjoyable. And then I guess the, what was it, Def Jam Icon, they didn't use them, and it was such a fucking piece of shit. I don't know where they went. They could be gone for all I know. Horrible.
Probably are. Okay, next story is, Gunsage, why don't you go ahead and summarize what Reggie Fils-Aimé had to say about Sony and their looniness.
Okay. It says, Nintendo would be embarrassed to be in Sony's, Microsoft's position. Reggie blasts competitors for motion control copying. Says next system will be whole new experience. Sony finally showed off their PlayStation 3 motion controller dubbed Move and subcontroller GDC this week. And Reggie had some things to say, such as, I think we would have been embarrassed to do what our competitors are currently doing, making games. So all I can tell you is that we will innovate. We will provide something new, something that the consumer and the industry will look at and say, wow, I didn't see that coming. Going for dildo controllers now. Well, no, you've already done that. I don't even know. It's just saying, basically, for us, high definition itself is not the next frontier.
That's the one that made me laugh.
Well, that's the funniest part. He says, in the beginning, for us, high definition by itself is not the next frontier. If you really read into that statement by itself, so, okay, at least they're going to try to catch up next time. But,
maybe. You read on down in the article, you're not so sure again what he says there at the bottom paragraph.
Well, right, he's saying when Mr. Miyamoto goes to Mr. Iwata and says, I have this great idea and I can't do it on the Wii, that's when there will be a next generation console. What that includes, we'll see. I think Mr. Miyamoto Miyamoto himself has said that he is very interested in high-definition experience, but to be 120% crystal clear, Reggie is not good at math. HD by itself, in our view, is not enough to go for a new console past the Wii. So, in other words, when they want to make a Wii Motion Plus Plus, that's when we'll be seeing something else.
Okay, I know Patrick's getting a golf club and a tee ready over on his end, so I'm going to go first real quick because there's two things I just wanted to say. First off, Reggie, you idiot. You should have just kept your damn mouth shut. They're not going to steal your core audience.
Yeah.
You should have just stayed out of it and let Microsoft and Sony whack the shit out of each other, for one thing. And for two, oh my god, these fucking idiots don't get it that HD is here. It's not going anywhere. Oh, for fuck's sake. The next one's not going to be HD. All I got out of that one was it might be HD if it looks good with our new fancy motion controller. Okay, yeah. Patrick, what'd you think of old Reggie Hamburger Boy?
Well, hasn't Nintendo ever heard of the phrase that, you know, ever heard of copying something is the most sincere form of flattery? I mean, seriously, Nintendo would be quote-unquote embarrassed to be in Sony and Microsoft's position. I mean, I'm getting more than a little annoyed with the so-called Reginator, and he's becoming more and more arrogant and pompous with the more and more money they're taking in from the soccer moms and the old folks here. You know, it's getting harder to be a Nintendo fan when, you know, not just because they're turning their back sort of on the people who got them to where they are with all this casual bullshit, but then they're just becoming arrogant, really, about it. It's hard not to see them as arrogant right now, but at the same time, the Nintendo fanboy in me that's left, not much of it left, I must say, says, you know, you can't really blame that response, I guess. Sony is blatantly copying the Wii's motion controls here, you know, and I guess to an extent, they deserve all the criticism that they get thrown at them. I mean, if you look at the Move, it's almost friggin' identical to the Wiimote and the Nunchuck. They even have a Nunchuck-type device that a lot of people haven't seen the pictures of. So, but, you know, it's not the first time that Sony or Sega or whoever have copied Nintendo, and it won't be the last time they do it. So, I don't know. I mean, I hope Sony and Microsoft make improvements on the motion technology somehow. But with the Sony Move, it does really look like a ripoff. So I guess, even though they're being arrogant, you can't blame them for being that way.
Well, my thing is, two things. One, Nintendo don't. the other thing is, I started thinking about what you were saying earlier as far as the avatars versus the Miis, and I started thinking, okay, that's a minor cosmetic thing. Obviously, they just try to improve upon the original formula. You can't really claim it was necessarily a ripoff, but we all know it technically is a ripoff. But I'm thinking about it, and I'm going, okay, if they don't fuck this up, that would be cool, except one problem. People don't buy the PS3 to dick around with a dildo mote, you know, and they don't buy a PS3 to buy kids games either, because Little Big Planet wasn't doing so hot either. So ultimately what it comes down to is, even though they've tried to go ahead and tap into the younger market, they're not getting it. That's Nintendo's market. I know that they just want a piece of the pie, but it's like, okay, too little too late. How are you going to go ahead and attract people to buy a, you know, a system that large? That's pretty much, that was another thing that he was saying that I actually kind of agreed with, as far as, why are you going to go ahead and buy a system that goddamned expensive that basically performs the same function? Is it because of the HD or the Blu-ray? I don't know, but I don't really see a whole lot of kids games on the PS3 either. Same deal with the Xbox 360. So I'm wondering, all right, the Natal, what are you going to do with it? The PlayStation Move, what are you going to do with it? You know, if you're just going to go ahead and do it to still make the games you're making, but as an option, cool. But if you're going to do it to try to force, you know, the current gaming populace into it, a lot of people are going to be really pissed off that don't have a Wii specifically because they didn't want the waggle.
I was going to say all of that, and I'm glad you saved me the time. No, I'm serious. I'm glad you saved me the time, because it's perfect. That's why I said Reggie should have just shut up.
Yeah.
Because the markets are set for all three boxes. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing a lot of people don't take into account, and I realize it's Microsoft's fault, but Sony and Nintendo both had better be damn glad that Microsoft had the Red Ring of Death problem. Because I got a pretty good idea, if they didn't, both their assholes would be in ruins. Nintendo might be still doing okay because of the soccer mom angle, but the only thing that saved Sony this generation was Microsoft's shoddy hardware. you know.
Well, Nintendo would still have the kids.
Right.
Hell, I've got like 2 games total for the 360 that appeal to kids.
Right.
And my daughter's not ready for either one of them, but goddamn, if she didn't do okay in Mario Party.
Right, and that's the thing, and that's why I said that Reggie should just keep his mouth shut.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it would have just been better to, hey, because the only thing Sony and Nintendo, or Sony and Microsoft might fight over is market share for new customers who want that motion control, and I don't think that market share is that big, you know. No. I've stated previously on this show, and I'm sticking with it again, if Nate Hall's over the much over the price of a controller, I'm probably not going to buy it unless I'm forced into a corner with a game I really, really want to play, and I have to use the damn thing. Patrick had it right. I understand Reggie's reason for doing it, but it really made him sound like an arrogant douchebag who should have probably just stayed out of the fight. You guys got your corner of the market. You're doing great with it, you know. Okay, our next story, Patrick, why don't you paraphrase that one for us real quick?
Okay. This piece of news came from Joystick. I'll read the headline here. Bungie registers Marathon and Bungie Aerospace trademarks. And they have a little graphic here of their new, whatever, Bungie Aerospace thing. Between the recent filing to trademark something regarding Bungie's first first-person shooter, Marathon, and a filing for the name Bungie Aerospace, we're not exactly sure what to make of whatever it is that's going on over at the house that birthed Master Chief. So, and then it goes on and on about these two new trademarks, or I guess, what you would call it, it's not exactly new, Marathon, but refreshing the filings of trademarks. So, in a nutshell, Bungie's busy, you know, making sure their original intellectual property stays with them. And more interesting, they have this new Bungie Aerospace name as well. So when I read this, I was really a little confused. I mean, I'm not sure what this means, aside from maybe we'll get another Marathon game down the road. And I have no idea what Bungie Aerospace will be about.
Here's the reason I brought up this story, and it's kind of a little bit conspiracy theorist. And yes, I am kind of trying to jerk the Halo fanboys around a little bit. There's one sentence in here that, or excuse me, one little blurb in here that made me want to do this story. And I'll read it. As for the Marathon trademark, it could very well be just an update in existing filing. The inclusion of references to several past Bungie logos in the Bungie Aerospace filing, however, suggests a possible rebranding of the studio. Something we wouldn't be particularly surprised with considering the break with Microsoft way back in 2007. Now here's the part that really got me. Not to mention the fact that this fall's Halo Reach marks the last Halo game from the studio before Microsoft's 343 Studios fully absorbs the IP. Well, first off, I think it's kind of funny because the next Halo game, if there is one, will be from 343 Studios, not Bungie. You could sit there and go, well, that might be the beginning of the end of the Halo franchise, but I think Bungie is getting ready to do... I think they're kind of like Weston Zampella, formerly of Infinity Ward. I think we're going to be seeing something brand new and independent from Bungie in a couple years. I mean, that's what all this little rumors and stuff, it's starting to, you know, make me think that's where this is going. So, any comments to that, gentlemen?
Not really. Again, to me, it doesn't really matter because I'm not really that big of a Halo fan. Very meh about the whole ordeal. I would love to see them work on other products, though. I didn't really get into Marathon too much either. I don't know why.
I think this Bungie Aerospace thing, whatever the hell that is, might be something, you know, like you're saying, what you're looking for there, Gunsage. You said it on another podcast previously, you know, you wished Bungie would move on and do other things. Well, I think that's maybe what they're doing these trademarks for.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
As a fan of the Halo series, does it concern you at all that 343 Studios will be doing whatever has the Halo name on it after this?
I really don't know what they would be doing. I mean, this is Microsoft, so they'll have gazillions of dollars, right? So 343 Studios could suddenly grow when they buy out another studio or something. I don't know what the hell they've done before, if anything, under that name. The only thing I do know that they've done under that name is the Halo Waypoint. They're on Xbox Live, and they've done a very good job with that. You know, you don't have to be a Halo fan. You don't have to own a Halo game to download that. It's basically like a Nintendo channel, only better. And, you know, you even get a free avatar award just for downloading the damn small file. They're very, very almost anal. They're very precise with Halo. They're doing a really good game, really good job of it. The interviews with this company seem like they're very serious into continuing Halo. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what they've done before. So it's kind of like in a void, you know?
I have, and it takes me hours to go through all the damn games. I have a game they did, 343 wow. Studios, and I can't remember what it was. I'm not picking on the Halo franchise or trying to stampede too many Halo fanboys, but I have this concern that anytime it changes from a studio that started a franchise to another studio, sometimes it gets so chaotic that it gets a little lost. And, you know, Halo as a franchise is getting up there in numbers. So I'm like you. I'm kind of a little bit curious what this is all going to work out and shake out to.
Yeah.
In kind of a sad note this week, Game Industry Biz is reporting that IGN is laying off a bunch of staffers. Not a huge fan of IGN, and it sounds like that even though they're one of the bigger sites that pulls in a lot of page views, that they're having a little trouble, so they're getting rid of, let's see. It doesn't say how many they're going to lay off in total. I thought it did. Anyways, they're going to lay off a bunch of staffers, but what I found interesting about this, and this is what I want you gentlemen to comment on, is they're laying off staff even though their audience grew by 40% last year. Does that sound like a company trying to improve their bottom line, or is the economy hitting them that hard? One of you go with that.
Go ahead, Gunsage.
Well, you know, I used to go to IGN back when I didn't know any better as a young boy on the internet. Didn't know that there were sites that did legitimate reporting and journalism. That, and they were pretty much the only site I knew about that actually did game reviews. So, I mean, it's kind of sad, but on the same token, I'm like, yeah, but they really suck now, so maybe they're just trying to go ahead and cut out the bad part, so hopefully they're cutting out at least 75% of them.
So yeah, but to answer the question, do you think they're just trying to fatten their bottom line over there, or is this an effort because the economy's hitting them, even though they suck? I mean, I'm not a big fan of them either, but
it's hard to say because I don't follow them well enough to really know how many reviews they crank out a day. I just know that there have been some situations like... Granted, this was almost 10 years ago, but it took them almost a year to come out with the Resident Evil Survivor review. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't that great of a game. I get that. But, you know, a lot of people were anticipating because it was like, oh, holy shit. First-person shooter? Resident Evil? How can you go wrong? And, you know, if I had known going into the game, no, it's a piece of crap, I probably wouldn't have rented it. But, you know, they completely dropped the ball on that one. And they completely dropped the ball on a number of JRPGs and a number of other things, too. And I'm like, you know, really? You guys aren't professional. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You really don't. So, I don't know. It's hard to say one way or the other, because I don't go there every day. If it was a case of, you know, they're really, really super hyperactive in the gaming community, then yeah, it's a tough call, because even though I don't really like them, okay, but at least they're doing their jobs, and they're doing it well, and they're getting sacked because of the economy, probably. But, it's hard to say, really.
Patrick, same thing. Fattening the bottom line, or bad economy?
I'd say it's a bit of both. I mean, it's definitely a bad economy, and, you know, it's always bad when someone gets laid off or, you know, things get downsized, you know. And for me, IGN was probably, much like Gunsage, one of the only or if the first big video game website that I used to frequent. I don't know, and I still do, because, you know, I got a lot of time while I work to listen to a lot of podcasts, and many of them are actually from IGN. One thing that I did notice is that they have a lot of people working for them, or at least they did, you know. Video game system has its own team, like multiple people of staff, its own podcast, its own subsection on the bigger website, you know. There's also TV channels and movie channels within IGN, and they all had a staff of multiple people. Comic book podcasts, and I think there's a Babe one or something. I don't know. There used to be a wrestling one, but that's gone. And I always thought to myself, you know, how the heck do they afford all of these people? You know, and I guess the answer is they can't afford with them. You know, it's they're always flying these dudes around to Tokyo and to gaming shows and all over the world, covering everything from movies to video games. And I feel bad for anyone who loses their position, especially at IGN. I still go there almost every day just to check out podcasts. But I don't honestly think that they needed that entire large staff to cover video games, you know. In these tough economic times, I guess it was coming. I just like to finish it by saying, you know, good luck to everybody who has been laid off, you know. I enjoyed their work.
I never got into the whole gaming websites until Destructoid, and that's for obvious reasons that we've talked about a thousand times. So I never was an IGN or GameSpot guy. I think the first time I went to GameSpot was during the Jeff Gertzman mess, and so now I go to Giant Bomb because he's over there. you know, but I think you hit it on the head. You know, people in the comments on that article were like, well, they grew their audience by 40%. Yeah, they used to be the only game in town. 40% isn't all that large a number to advertisers and this and that. And you have a lot of upcoming blogs or other gaming sites, whatever you want to call them. You know, people are trying to categorize them every day. And they're one of the ones that has started this trend that pisses me off, and it's why I don't read their reviews of. It's, you know, it's kind of unspoken, but the worst kept secret in gaming, in the game industry, well, we're only going to use 6 to 10. You know, them and GameSpot and a few others, well, we're only going to use 6 to 10. Eh, fuck that. Yeah, okay, what's next? 8 to 10? You know, as far as a grading scale, screw that. Stop worrying about your damn, you know, advertisers and the publishers getting pissed off, and give us an honest review, you pricks. You know, but I do think that it's the fact that they got too bloated, because, I mean, they're part of CNET. They sucked up a shit ton of little gaming websites and this and that, and they sectioned it all into different things like you were talking about, Patrick. I think this has more to do with the economy, as much as it pains me to say that, because I'm not a fan of IGN. And like you, I hope all those people that get laid off are able to find other work in the industry, because, you know, it sucks. Anytime you lose a job, it sucks. That's, you know, through no fault of your own. Okay, that has been news. Now, this week in Gamer Dick, it is a special Gamer Dick, because Patrick and I don't have one. So first, we're going to have Gunsage, apparently, if I'm correct, and call himself out for being a gamer dick while playing Perfect Dark. Yes. So why don't you do that first, and then we're going to have Mrs. Gunsage rant at him, back at him from the couple weeks back when Gunsage called her a gamer dick. So you go first, Gunsage.
Okay. Well, so I hadn't played Perfect Dark in a while, and I especially hadn't... You remember how in GoldenEye, if you were on, like, Agent, then it was something like, get to the end of the level. You know, some... just rant, just, you know... simple shit. It was just basically get to the end of the level, or maybe find this key, then get to the end of the level.
Right.
But then, you know, in Special Agent, you would have, okay, find this key, you know, avoid detection, photograph these documents, get to the end of the level. But then you would have, you know, in like the hardest difficulty, you would have, okay, all that, but also you need to go ahead and mitigate these threats and do this and that and the other. You need to download all this information, then you need to get to the end of the level. So they would just basically pack on more objectives on top of it already being more hard. Harder. Yes. So I'm playing with this guy on co-op, completely forgetting that my torrents are on, so it's lagging terribly. And he kind of knows what he's doing, but not really, and I don't remember what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, so this is on the hardest mode, and he doesn't seem to know what he's doing, and that's not good, because I'm not going to read over all this shit right now. And I'm playing it safe. I'm just, you know, I'm only killing the actual enemies and things of that nature. So there's one part where you're supposed to go ahead and get this guy out of his office, hold him at gunpoint, make him walk over to this room where he's supposed to go ahead and put in his password to log into the network. Okay, well, I have him do that. I have him log into the network. I'm being very careful about it. I'm like, okay, logged into the network. Let's go ahead and use the decryptor, the download file. As soon as I do that, that motherfucker goes ahead and mind wipes the one robot rather than me going ahead and getting the information, so I fail the objective. And this is in a co-op game, so the other guy looks at me and I look at him and I'm like, I don't know. And so we just start shooting each other, so I go ahead and quit real quick.
So you quit on him before it ended?
Well, there was nothing you could do. Since the objective was failed, right. It was abort mission. There was right. Nothing you could do. He was pissed. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know.
Not.
Because apparently what you're supposed to do is as soon as he logs in, you like, you know, switch to an unarmed weapon or something and like knock him out and then go ahead and download the shit. But I totally forgot that one minor issue. And we had already gone through so much of the mission.
Oh. Was this somebody off your friends list or just some, oh god,
just some random dude.
That's even better. Okay, so now, basically, for those of you that listen to the show week in and week out, a couple weeks back, 2 weeks in a row, in fact, our very own Gunsage decided to out his wife as a gamer dick. I gave her the opportunity at any time to come back and rebut what her husband was saying about her being a gamer dick while playing Mario Party. And so that is what we are going to do. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Gunsage. Are you there now?
Yep.
Hi. Okay, Tro, you now have the floor to rebut your husband calling you a gamer dick during Mario Party play.
What did I do exactly?
Oh, shit. What?
Yeah, no, you have to tell me.
I have to tell you what you did?
I'm talking to him.
Okay, yeah, have him tell you what you did real quick, and then we'll...
What did I do? What? Don't make me put you on the couch for the next month. What did I do? Eric, TikTok.
Yeah, no kidding.
What? Oh, for God's... He's a sore winner. He's pissed off because I got mad that he stole a star from me, and I didn't even get mad. I was just like, that sucks. You were going to win anyway. How does this qualify me as a bad person?
It qualifies you as a gamer dick.
So you're saying that just because you took him to task for stealing one star from you, that doesn't qualify you as a gamer dick?
I don't believe it should. He was going to win anyway. He's a sore winner.
No, I wasn't going to win anyway.
You were going to win anyway. No, I wouldn't have.
No.
Okay, what's the other one?
The other one was shutting the game console off before the credits finished rolling. Yada, yada, yada.
I had no idea that was verboten.
Yeah, I kind of nailed him on that because it's like you left the console and walked away from it.
I had no idea that that was, I don't know, is that a faux pas?
Apparently, yes. It is if you are a longtime gamer, but you're not a longtime gamer. Yeah, I didn't really see how that was your fault. I kind of gave him shit about it.
Well, thank you.
So basically what you're telling us is that your stance is you're not a gamer dick, he's a sore winner.
He is the gamer dick of all eternity. Did he tell you what he did to my Disgaea file?
Yes, we have heard the Disgaea file story.
I had 300 hours on it and he deleted it without even asking me if I wanted it. I think me going, you suck, you took my star, is nothing compared to him deleting my 300-hour file.
So what you're saying is he should be in the Gamer Dick Hall of Fame week in and week out on this show.
He is like the Hitler of Gamer Dicks, okay?
By the German blood.
You shut up. You have said your say.
Okay, so basically now we have your side of the story, and that's what we want to get on air since I didn't think it was fair for Gunsage to be able to rant on about you without you getting equal opportunity to rant on about him.
Oh, he whines. You whine. You whine about me. Even after you beat me at a game, you are the sorest winner I have ever seen.
But I'm still the winner.
Asshole.
I'm still the winner.
Oh, that's okay. He thinks it's funny when he can beat our 3-year-old at a game, too. Like, that takes superior knowledge and intellect. You should see him at Extreme Candyland, okay?
Extreme Candyland? He's competitive over Extreme Candyland?
He gets upset if our 3-year-old beats him in Candyland.
I don't care if she beats him.
You do so? You get pissed.
I don't.
You got pissed. You got sent back to the Gumdrop Forest, and you were whining.
I got robbed.
Greatest gamer dick segment ever. We just found out Gunsage gets competitive over fucking Candyland.
Against a 3-year-old. We cannot stand for our daughter to beat him at Candyland.
You better get the headset away from her, Gunsage. This is hilarious.
Honey, they want you to come steal your headset back before I can tarnish your manly image any further.
Oh, no, I'm telling him he should. I'm not saying you have to. I'm finding this highly entertaining.
They're laughing at you right now.
Gets competitive with a 3-year-old over Candyland. Patrick, have you ever been anything that evil?
Nope. I've never been. Where does he get sent back to? I don't even know what game this is.
Candyland, don't you remember it from the board game as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for Chutes and Ladders. That's going to be. That could be a death match.
You just don't know about my Chutes and Ladders.
Oh, God.
This is what I live with. I live with this.
Yeah, we know. We know. You got to live with him all the time. We only have to put up with him for a couple hours every Thursday night and random encounters on Xbox Live.
Lucky bitches.
All right, give Gunsage back the headset so we can finish up the show so Patrick and I can go eat.
Okay, have fun.
Thank you.
I don't know if they want you back.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Dude, you, what the fuck? You get competitive with a 3-year-old over Candyland? Come on, man.
No, I didn't get competitive. I just got a shit card. Horrible.
This explains so much of the fits you throw and run Xbox Live now. Doesn't it, Patrick?
What's that? Sorry.
This explains so much the rages he goes into on Xbox Live, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I'm just going to bring up two words or one word.
Candyland. Oh, I've got
You don't have shields in Candyland.
That's right. You need a giant candy shield. That's what you need.
Oh, my God. This is the best Gamer Dick segment ever. Okay, let me give the email address and we'll get the sample out of here.
Okay.
If you'd like to send us questions, comments, insults, anything of that nature, feel free to use our handy email address. It's morphenation23@gmail.com. morphenation23@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been WonderPod episode 11. I am out of here.
Goodbye. Yup.
Okay. Somebody give me a towel.
He was saying Nintendo would be embarrassed.
Would you stop burping on fucking every bastard. Go ahead.
No, I coughed.
I'm telling you, you gotta watch that little Canadian. He is an evil son of a bitch. Oh.